Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, the Dr. Zen, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, in your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
It's war. Google CEO boasts they will stop Trump. Twitter and Facebook shadow block and try to control information. News favorable to liberals flows freely. News favorable to conservatives, well, tightly monitored and controlled, and even sometimes just outright blocked. Conservatives blocked routinely. Radical groups like, well, Hamas get a pass. What is shadow blocking? Well, that's when Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram or others block your posts and so on without you knowing about it. They create algorithms that identify keywords or phrases that serve to restrict dissemination of certain communications and so on. Some of you remember when censorship was a dirty word. Now it is standard operating procedure with liberals. They have turned it into a virtue, along with other evil things they call good and good things they call evil. Representative Castro, a dimwit, and you know what I mean by that, from Texas, posted private citizens' information of Trump supporters because he wanted people to, quote, think twice, end quote, about supporting Trump. Huh. Now, let's take a look at the rash of mass shootings. And in what way are these related? Gilroy, California, Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas. And also recently, a gang member here in California went on a rampage and knifed several people, I think seven, killing four. The problem with the Detroit shooting is that, you know, when you try to get information or collect it, there are so many shootings and reports of shootings coming out of Detroit. Frankly, it's bewildering. So many are inclined to chalk up the recent Detroit shooting as just another day in Detroit. How sad. We're not sure what the Gilroy shooter was trying to achieve. Fact is, the police are keeping their information tightly controlled. It appears his social media presence has been scrubbed. All we are told is that his ideology was, quote, fractured, end quote. He seemed to show an interest in what the officer described as, quote, competing violent ideologies, end quote. That's interesting language. In other words, apparently there was no more evidence to support a white supremacist connection than there was to support a connection with Antifa or Hunter ideology. What's the Hunter ideology, you ask? Well, we're heading there. Hold on. Can't say much more about the Gilroy shooting until more is known about the shooter and his motivations, but this we know. He intended to kill everybody he had a bullet for. Hundreds, no doubt. But he killed three before he was stopped by some good guys with guns. And it's always a gun that stops these situations. The Dayton and El Paso shootings, however, present a very intriguing contrast. Dayton shooting. Well, the perp was a flaming liberal, Trump and Republican hater. He expressed, quote, extreme hatred of American border enforcement, end quote. He tweeted, quote, I want socialism, end quote. He said he was not going to wait for everyone else to finally get it. And yet, repeatedly, the MSM called this guy far right. I kid you not. Socialism is a lefty thing, man. You know, we need to be careful about letting the left define the right. They can't be trusted to tell the truth. After all, as Biden said, they're not interested in facts. Nazism is not a right-wing ideology. The fact, it gets complicated, and I'm going to go into it in a show that I'm preparing. It'll be airing in a few weeks. If you examine Nazi ideology, it aligns more closely to left-wing values and beliefs than it does to right-wing values and beliefs. I mean, begin with a tyrannical fascist penchant for controlling what everyone else believes and says and does, and making it a political issue? That's totally Nazi and totally left. Move from there to the fact that Nazism was all about socialism. And that, my friend, is a totally left-wing thing. And it goes on and on from there. Be careful about allowing your enemy to define you. What is significant about the Dayton shooter is that he hated border enforcement, he hated Republicans, and he labeled all conservatives and anyone he did not like as fascists, so he could justify calling for them to be killed. Because, of course, you know, all fascists must die, right? I mean, pin the label fascist on them, and then you can just kill them. It's like pin the David Starr on their shoulder, and then you can just kill them. That's the same spirit, you see. Anyway, you got it? The Dayton shooter was a socialist, open border Bernie, Pocahontas supporter, and decided to get a gun to make his political statements. Liberals are always clamoring to use profiling as a base for gun control laws, but their profile is way off in this regard. According to their rules, liberals should be banned from owning guns, not conservatives. Anyway, now let's look at the glaring contrast that we can see between the Dayton shooter and the El Paso shooter. El Paso shooting. The perp wrote scathing diatribes against what he called a Hispanic invasion of Texas. He claims he wanted to kill Mexicans. Apparently, he had strong opinions about interracial marriages and all that sort of thing. He wanted all the Mexicans to go back to Mexico or something along those lines. Now, we can safely assume, therefore, would you think, that he was in favor of border control and deportation of those who have entered our country illegally. But, of course, his ideology and his concerns go way past that. So it is assumed by all the media that he was a right-winger. But again, we must not allow the left to define the right. Right people don't hate Mexicans or Chinese or Arabs or Jews or anybody else. Right people believe in law and order. And they resent anyone coming into our country illegally, to be sure, and latching on to the social nipple. But that has nothing to do with race. The El Paso shooter is angry about all the Mexicans coming into our country or into his state. So he decides to get a gun and go shoot them all. What a fool. What a monster. The Dayton shooter is angry about all the Trump-loving fascists out there who reject socialism. Very confused, obviously, because fascists typically like socialism. But anyway, so he decides to get a gun and go shoot all he can. Well, on the surface, this might look like, you know, the Dayton guy was a Trump hater and the El Paso guy would be presumed to be a Trump lover. However, when you look closely at the ideology of each of these people, there's no way that either of them align with the values and the beliefs of those of us who are on the right. Of course, the liberal media tries to blame Trump for all these tragedies. Of course, the liberal media tries to blame Trump for all these tragedies. Now, let's try to pull this together. Beto, an El Paso homie, by the way, blames Trump for the mass shootings because he, as Beto said, created the environment of hatred that made it possible for this to happen. Friend, the policies that stoked the El Paso shooter are liberal ones. Yeah, the liberal policies on the border and all that, that's what stirred that guy up. You know, so by their own reckoning, liberals created the environment of hatred that guy lived in that triggered his murderous rampage. But no, we're not going to go there. Because actually, as you will see, that is a superficial understanding of this matter. Hang on. Missile of brilliant insight incoming, but don't duck or dodge. Let it explode in your mind. It will be a clarifying moment for you all. But let's clear away another side issue, shall we? Were all the mass shootings that occurred during the Obama years a result of the environment of hatred that was created by him and his fellow Democrats? A legitimate question, but it misses the real point. Okay, here it comes. How did Trump supposedly create this environment of hatred? By existing? You know, before Trump was an open America-loving conservative with Christian sympathies, he was beloved by the left. I mean, all of them fawned all over him. Now they hate him. What did he do to create this environment of hatred that clearly exists in the left, in the community of the left? Well, he became a conservative. Now, think about what I'm saying here. What triggered the left against Trump is the sense of betrayal they feel toward him for siding with their enemies against their champions, the Obama-Clinton nexus. The environment of hatred is almost entirely on the left side of the proverbial aisle, or have you noticed? Anyone with sense can see it. They're the ones foaming at the mouth with rabid hatred for Trump and for his supporters, too. Have you noticed how they go out of their way to target, specifically, Trump supporters? What created this environment for the left? Trump won. That's it. The implications of his victory are what has, for the left, created the environment of hatred that Beto thinks is responsible for this mass murder spree. Trump has been governing conservatively. He has been dismantling the Obama-Clinton legacy. He has turned this country around, and more than that, he is gaining support in traditionally Democrat enclaves. Among the Hispanics and blacks, he's making significant gains in support. And it's simply because his policies work. And now here's the point. If that creates an environment of hatred for the left that encourages mass murderers, then start putting this together. Who are the ones, by their own accusation, that are responsible for this? In the liberals' world, conservatives are hated. So if you are a conservative, well, just by your very existence, you're creating an atmosphere or an environment of hatred. I hope you know how to listen to these people when they talk, because they are revealing their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the stuff that's in the hearts of these people is very dark, very menacing, because liberals are so full of hatred against anyone who disagrees with them. If you disagree with them in their mind, you're creating hatred because you make them angry. Think about this. So the liberal says, no, it's Trump's tweets. He stirs the pot. He agitates. Well, the truth is, all he does is defend himself. And I think it's very refreshing. All he does is defend himself against the bullies that misrepresent him and his supporters and his supporters. Every time Trump defends himself, he's standing in defense of us all. These mass murders take place, and then Beto comes out and says that Trump is to blame. Trump responds by pointing out that the Dayton shooter was, apparently, a Bernie guy. So Trump is the pot stirrer? Beto is not rebuked for stirring the pot or using inflammatory rhetoric or instigation or anything, but if Trump speaks up and defends himself, and by extension, all of us who support him, Trump is the instigator. Trump is the agitator. Trump is the one accused of inflammatory rhetoric. This has been going on for a long time, and thank God for a president who is putting his own shtick into the pot and stirring it against them. And that's what makes them angry. It agitates their hatred because Trump refuses to allow them to misrepresent him and us. They accuse him of creating the environment of hatred they live in, and he's to blame because of who he is and what he believes. You see what I'm saying? This is dangerous stuff, you see. These people aren't taking responsibility for their own hatred. They're blaming people they hate for their hatred. They created the environment of hatred. They're the ones full of hatred. They're the ones acting out emotionally and physically against Trump and his supporters. So now this movie's coming out called Hunter. The movie is about a group of elite liberals who go into the streets hunting for deplorables, and you know who they are, and killing them. Remember the comedian holding up a mock-up of Trump's bloodied and severed head? Remember the repeated occasions when a Trump hater has physically assaulted a Trump supporter of late? Remember that Cortez released the personal information of Trump supporters, made that public, as Trump, here are Trump supporters with their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You know, he explained why. And if you're listening for what's coming out of his heart, listen to what this man said. He wanted to expose them. He wanted to do that as a warning to anybody that they should think twice about supporting Trump. Are you listening? They are literally trying to bully you to make you afraid to support Trump. That's it. Give me my MAGA hat, my MAGA tee, and load up my guns. All right. I'm not going to be intimidated by a pack of liberal bullies. You see, in this Hunter game, the game can defend themselves. I'm talking about defense here. They're talking about attacking. I'm talking about defending. Hey, Castro, you radical Trump-hating, hate-filled, and deranged liberal, maybe you'd better think twice about making statements like that. Maybe you should think through what you're saying. Maybe you should think twice about threatening Trump supporters. My goodness. Do you understand that you cannot back down from this kind of thing? You just can't do it, friends. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
The Bible says the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Our children are not informed about our great American heritage, and what they are told are often lies that inspire hatred and not love for our country. This will destroy us. The antidote? A lighthouse provides a guiding light through darkness. We are shining the light of the Bible, guiding families to the safe harbor of God's love and protection. That's why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur, and Paul Rivers, lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The liberals are hanging on to their support base by their fingernails. It's slipping away from them, eroding out from under their feet like beach sand in a retreating wave. They are in full panic, and they're desperate. How desperate are they? Well, where do we start? On MSNBC recently, in an interview with Bryant Williams, former FBI Assistant Director Frank Figliuzzi, I think they say it, Figliuzzi anyway, used numerology to link neo-Nazism to Trump's order to have flags at half mast in honor of victims of the El Paso and Dayton shootings. Yeah, numerology. Now, the idea is that Trump purposely chose the dates for lowering the flags to coincide with some neo-Nazi significant date. Here's what Figliuzzi said to an attentive Brian Williams on MSNBC. Quote, "The president said that we will fly our flags at half-mast until August 8th. That's 8-8. Now, I'm not going to imply that he did this deliberately, but I am using it as an example of the ignorance of the adversary that's being demonstrated by the White House. The numbers 8-8 are very significant in neo-Nazi and white supremacy movement. Why? Well, because the letter H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, and to them, the numbers 8-8 together stand for Heil Hitler. So we're going to be raising the flag back up at dusk on 8-8. God. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Yet, Bryant Williams taking this guy seriously. In the wake of these late shootings, Trump came out loud and clear, denouncing white supremacy and racism. However, I'm sure the white supremacy that Trump is denouncing does not include people who call Democrats clowns. Did you hear about this one? Oh yeah, supposedly using the word clown now to describe Democrats is a white supremacist slur. Yeah, you did not know this, did you? But if you call Democrats clowns, how many of us have just used that expression? What a bunch of clowns, right? Well, you need to know what you're saying here. If you use that adjective in a description of anyone, well, you're signaling affinity with white supremacy. Uh-huh. And how so, you might ask? Well, those in the know about what neo-Nazis are up to these days, they tell us that they have begun using Pepe the Frog as something of a mascot, symbolizing their angst about the degradation of our culture by massive immigration. Pepe the Frog, it turns out, dons a clown suit. So, using the word clown means you're a racist, a white supremacist. Now, I mentioned the desperation of the left, conspiracy theories based on numerology, and now paranoia about a clown costume on a frog. I don't know what to say about it. This is crazy. I should add that a common symptom of desperation is paranoia. But really, let's be real. Keep in mind that the Dems are going after whatever demographic they can appeal to. They are losing their traditional base and grasping for whatever support they can. These are signals to the ignorant and superstitious. Har har. They're orchestrating their campaign to target the fringe, the lunatic, the illegal immigrant, along with the ignorant socialist indoctrinated youth, along with crazy people who think, you know, 88 means, you know, Hotel Hilton or something. Anyway, although the Gilroy shooter did have a clown mask in his car at the time he shot up that garlic festival. Wow. What a mess, my friends. Yeah, the Democrats are desperate, and you should never underestimate the danger of desperate people. They will use voter fraud to get the win if they can. They will. They, and by they I mean these irrational Trump-hating people on the left. Here's their profile. Secularists, that's no God, or at least no God in politics. That is no God that has any influence in their lives. Socialists, you know, moral deviants from traditional Christian American values and so on. They do not see truth the way we do. They see it as malleable or as just, I don't know, designer truth. Like Biden recently said, quote, the Democrats choose truth over facts, end quote. Wow. You disconnect truth from facts you don't have either. That crowd easily justifies voter fraud. See, that mentality. You see, because if the fraud is perpetrated to advance their truth, well, then it's okay. They will use voter fraud. They will use censorship. They will use intimidation. They will use violence. That's how desperate they are. Their game plan is reduced to depending upon the illegal and ignorant and now the insane vote, along with intimidating as many Trump supporters into staying home as they can. We are at war, my friends, so I caution my Christian patriots to remember the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. My book is coming out soon. It should be available for distribution in October. God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. The case for Christian involvement in every facet and sphere of life on this planet. Yeah, that's a mouthful all by itself. I will begin receiving advance orders from my online bookstore soon. And that online bookstore, by the way, is books@dbp.com. And it's unfortunate what we did here. I didn't think about it. But the at is not the little ampersand thing you use at an email address or something. All right? It's books, the letters A-T, dbp.com. books@dbp.com. That's for Distinctively Baptist Publications, by the way. And that book will begin shipping in October. God's War. It explains everything about what's going on in the world, and especially in America, and what Christians need to do about it, what they can do about it. Now, I can't advertise a price just yet. It's being formatted for print, so we haven't finalized on a page count. It's hardback. It's going to be Smith-Sewn. That's a high-end binding. And it's written on a par with my book, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting. So it's a highly engaging read, and deep, by the way. Nothing's held back. And yes, it even has pictures. Yes, it does. But really, advance orders get a 25% discount for a signed copy. Also, I have put together my definitive proof that Trump is not a racist, and they are available to ship right now. So please send that a gift of $20 to support the radio show, and that'll be a favor that I'll send you. You'll also receive it if you are a regular supporter of the Brain Massage Show. So you can look for that in the mail very soon. You need that, by the way, and my argument why Christians can and should support Donald Trump's re-election. Well, I was going to offer another installment in my series, Why Christians Can and Should Support Trump, but I got carried away with this other stuff. So, but I got a little bit of time left. Let's use it. In the first installment, I debunked the standard arguments that are used against Christian support for Trump. And that was show number 737. You can find that on our website. I used the article written by a pair of sociologists of religion outlining 10 reasons Christians cannot support Trump for president. I debunked all that. Then the second installment was given last week, show 738, where I pointed out that Christians need to try the spirits. And when the spirit of the Democrat Party is tested by biblical principles, well, it's clearly the nest of the Antichrist spirit today. Whereas when the spirit of the Republican Party under Trump Pence is tested, it turns out to be a home for the spirit of liberty, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ. I'll lay all that out clearly in the last show. It's quite literally today a vote for the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the persons here, but the spirit behind them. And I ended that show with a reference to Mark 9:40, where Jesus said, "For he that is not against us is on our part," quote unquote. Conversely, then, he that is against us is not on our part. We should not support those who are against us. Trump is for us. And I said I would detail that in the next show, and I won't have time to go into it in the detail I intended, but I will save that for next week. Let's get started, though, and then I will continue. The Democrat Party is against us. And that should be obvious to any God-fearing patriot, but a few reminders will be helpful to make my point. Beginning with the Democratic platform back in 2012, I believe it was. Yes, 2012. The Democrats at their convention were almost evenly split on the question whether or not to include a statement affirming God and Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The leadership of the party predicted an easy two-thirds voice vote approval to pass the amendment, but anyone hearing the voice vote taken on the floor would have to admit it wasn't there. Today, the Democrat Party affirms a woman's right to murder a baby in the womb of its mother, and it affirms the gay special rights agenda. So basically, we're done. There is no biblical way you can justify supporting the Democrat Party. They are against us. They're not on our part. And by that, by they, I mean the Democrat Party. The GOP, on the other hand, continues to keep these planks in their platform, pro-life and pro-marriage. The biblically supported sanctity of life and sanctity of marriage values have a home, not in the Democrat Party, but in the Republican Party. So the Democrats are against us, and the Republicans are for us. The Democrats are not on our part. The Republicans are on our part. In the context where Jesus is saying that, he's talking about people outside of their immediate group, and the fact, the rationale being that they could be supported if they're on our part. And we can support those who are for us, but we cannot support those, and we certainly should not support those who are against us. It's hard to make it any more plain than that. But actually, in the next show, I will. Okay, got to close the show for today. This Sunday, there will be no 5 p.m. service this coming Sunday. I'm thrilled to welcome home Pastor Campbell. As many of you know, he served here as my assistant pastor for, I think it was like 13, 14, 15 years, somewhere in there. And we love him and his family very dearly. He will be speaking for us this Sunday morning during the preaching time, and that begins at 10:45. He's pastoring now in Wheatland, and he's just coming here for a visit. So I thought it would be great to have his father and his nephew preach on either side of him. Three generations serving the Lord. Lloyd Campbell, a preaching deacon, if you ever heard one, he will take my Bible study at 9:30 a.m. His son, Pastor Brandon Campbell, will preach the morning service. And then after lunch, we'll hear from pastor-to-be Nathan Campbell, Lloyd's grandson, Pastor Campbell's nephew, now attending Heartland Baptist College in Oklahoma for his training. Three generations. Come on out and enjoy a great time of fellowship and some dynamic and inspirational preaching, and just a really a good time. Now, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on by calling 805-314-2114 and leaving a message for me on our listener response hotline. Now, no one answers that particular line, but you can very quickly get to the opportunity to say lights on, lights off, and then hang up, or leave a message for me. And again, if you want me to call you back, you need to let me know. Now, if you want to write to me a letter, you have a longer message you want to give me, go to our website, brainmassage.net. Again, that's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, send me an email. So you can leave me a message on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114. Or you can go to our website, brainmassage.net, and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.